City well, city well, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel of God's holy word. We're going to be reading the gospel taken from John, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb.
So she ran, and she went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him."
Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb.
The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first.
He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in.
And then Simon Peter came, following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there.
And the cloth that had been on Jesus' head was lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself.
Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, he also went in, and he saw and he believed.
For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead.
Then the disciples returned to their homes.
But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb.
And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet.
They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him."
When she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there. But she did not yet know that it was Jesus.
Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where have you laid him, and I will take him away."
Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni," which means teacher.
Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
And Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them all that he had said, these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks indeed. You may be seated. Do you want to use this? I'll share with you.
Okay. We're excited today as we stand before you believing that it is all about family. And we hope that the word that you've just heard in this gospel reading will take you where we hope these next three prompts will come. Hopefully they're going to be on the screen. Yes.
There we go.
We're going to go through three prompts and just to share from our perspective today the proclamation of the word.
What does the story tell you about the meaning and the power of Jesus' resurrection? There is more to say than we could possibly say. And so we invite you to answer that question for yourselves, even as we are offering you some of our own thoughts.
Well, Cleve, I'll just say from the beginning, that's one of my favorite passages. You know, when you look at Luke and Matthew, John seems to really, really begin with the way I like to see it, because it really talks about how darkness tries to overtake us. Mm-hmm. And in this story in particular, it begins with Mary coming into her darkness of fear, darkness of trying to take care of her teacher, her leader, the one that she believed had already gone. She was about to really prepare his body for burial. for burial, but yet she was at a place of feeling like all was gone, yeah. A place of darkness.
Yeah, I noticed that in the first 11 verses of this passage, 9 times the word tomb shows up. I've never noticed that before the reading of it this week and thinking about it for this time together. But 9 times in 11 verses, tomb, tomb, tomb. The theme of death is heavy. The theme of darkness is heavy. The reality of the brokenness of our world is set before us in this text. There is no denial of death here. There is no painting rosy of those things which we can only call the enemy of life.
Well, when I think of the meaning and the power of Jesus' resurrection through this story, I am reminded, no matter whether you read it through Matthew or Luke, they all begin with Mary. Mary as the first one. And I believe that is important as we look at what was happening during Jesus' time and the way women may not have been portrayed. But it's no doubt that Mary was the first witness. I'm also reminded that when I look at this, the power of the resurrection is clear because we should always be looking. You know, Mary was truly looking in the midst of our darkness. There are times when we've had such a rough day or something has happened to us that we forget that we're resurrected people. But this story reminds me of Jesus asking us today. It's Resurrection Sunday, y'all. What are you looking for? What are you here looking for today? This story is very important for all of us because Mary had already said, oh, he's gone. But the question is also for us. What are you looking for as resurrected people?
You know, another way to ask that question is, where is there death in your life? You know, where is there a darkness that presses in and threatens to extinguish all light of hope for you? You know, where is it that you are feeling the weight of our world's brokenness, whether that's your deep personal brokenness or perhaps the brokenness of our community around us or perhaps the threat of brokenness in our world at large? This story takes all of the brokenness and the pain and the fear and the betrayal and the hurt and the death in our world and it focuses it into a tomb. And the remarkable thing about the story is not only that Jesus is the one who has stepped into all of that with us and for us, who has taken it all into himself, who has buried it in a tomb, but that he leaves it all in the tomb. The tomb is empty in this story. And all that is left in it is the death of death itself. The death of everything that would define us as broken, as betrayed, as less than, as not good enough, as only darkness or shame. All of that is left in the tomb.
Yes, Clee, that's correct. But many times when we are in that place of death, we can't see light.
That's right.
We can't even hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us. But I look at this story as an opportunity. When you go to the last verse, you find that Mary is saying, I have seen my Lord. But for me, I would say, look at God. Look at God. I believe at the end of what she went through, she said, look at God.
That's right.
Like many of us today, we in darkness in certain places or we look at death right in the eye. We're holding our head down, but we have to say, look at God. I still see God.
That's right.
In the midst of this death. Just as Mary did.
That's right.
This story is about hope for us.
Yeah.
No matter how we look at it.
And I love that Mary says to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And that Jesus says to her, don't hold on to me. You see, there's a scandal in the proclamation of the New Testament. It's loud and clear in this passage, but you won't find an exception to it anywhere in the New Testament. The proclamation over and over and over again is that Jesus' body got out of the grave. The body that Mary cling to, as she said, Rabuni. And Jesus would say, don't hold on to me right now. That Jesus would be one who could be seen and touched and eaten with. This is the proclamation throughout the New Testament. Mary did not say, I believe that Jesus is risen in my heart.
No.
Mary did not say, Jesus metaphorically has been resurrected, and we will carry forth his message into our world. You know, Mary said, I saw him.
Hey, look at God.
Jesus said, you've got to take your hands off my body right now, my body that is raised. And y'all, that is a scandal, and it is something that we have got to cling to as a church. It's a scandal because in the Jewish imagination in that day, if you believed in resurrection, and there were some Jews who didn't, and some Jews who did. But the ones who did, they had a pretty common belief about it, at least in this fact. Resurrection is what God would do at the very end of time for all of the righteous at the same time. So the idea that one individual would be raised from the dead, resurrected in the middle of history alone, that's a scandal to the Jewish imagination. It is not a message people would go, yes, of course. It is a message people would go, what are you talking about? And in the Gentile imagination, namely everybody else in the world, the dominant philosophy would say, I don't want to be resurrected from the dead. Actually, my body is the problem, and one day I'll get to transcend my body in death. My soul will be set free. I wouldn't want my body to be raised. And this message of the cross is a scandal to the Gentile imagination and to the Jewish imagination. This is a big deal, y'all, that we don't say Jesus lives simply in our hearts. That we don't say Jesus is metaphorically risen. That we say his body got out of the grave. And the fact that the church grew on that proclamation in a world where everyone would either say, what are you talking about? Or I don't want that, is the greatest evidence to the truth of the resurrection, because these apostles went around, all of them saying, we've seen, we've touched, we've eaten with. That's the proclamation of Easter.
Well, I also believe, Cleve, that many of us go through the motions on this day. We say that, but we're not living and relating to each other or working in ministry together to believe that. And so I think so often when we hear this story, it is about a new beginning. It's about change. So that brings us to our second question. Can you put that up? What does a resurrection life look like for us because Jesus is risen? When I think of that, I automatically am reminded that it is about change. It's about transformation. For many of us today, we are looking at this new beginning and not wanting to change. But I'm grateful that when we look at being a people that believe in the resurrection, we've got to be the change agents in our community. Many times we're like, I go to church, oh, I'm involved in that. But outside of that and the church, you have no reference. I believe that we are to bring about the change, and really, not just bring about the change, be willing to say, yes, I know Jesus died, but he also lived, and I am living with him on this earth. I am the change agent. I am the one that is willing to confront those powers that be, because that's one of the things that Jesus did. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is all about us being revolutionary people.
That's
people
right.
are willing to say, yes, I am here, because there are powers that be that are all around. And Jesus confronted those powers. The Pharisees, those that were disciples that really were lazy and didn't want to follow, he confronted them. The demons that were all around, he confronted them. But where are you today? Where are you when you look at that question? Where are you understanding that Jesus did rise again in your own life? Are you the change agent? Are you the one that are willing to take our vision on? What is our vision anyway? We are people that do what? I hear a whisper. We are people that be. Come on, let's hear. Come on, let me hear. We are people that be.
Receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life.
Amen. I believe that that's what this is about. And because of that, we step into a place of having a repentant heart. I don't think that today can be a day where you get all dressed up and you're not cleaning up in the inside.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. Lord, what do I need to get right today?
That's right.
I'm brand new. I got white
that's
on
right.
and this. But what part of my life is not clean? We have to examine ourselves. We got to look at those places and then look at, what is it that I need to do around me?
Yeah.
How am I to confront these things and situations. That's what resurrection is about. That's what we as resurrection people are supposed to think and live into.
Yeah. That's the first thought that came to me as well, Gloria, very similarly, that resurrection life, because Jesus' body got out of a grave, looks like a profoundly honest life. It is a relentlessly honest. It is a fearlessly honest life. It's honest, as you're saying, about everything in us that is death and everything around us in the world that is death. Because when Jesus is raised by the power of God's Spirit and gets out of the grave, it is an emphatic judgment upon all that is not life. You know, when Jesus gets out of a grave, it reveals God's desire and God's intention to make all things new.
That's right.
All things are being made new in Jesus. And so when we look at ourselves and we see what is old and what needs to go within us, or when we look in the power structures of our community and we see what is an enemy of life, what is an enemy of community, what is an enemy of love, what is an enemy of dignity, when we see all of these things, the grave, the tomb, the nine times tomb, 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 tells us infinite times we get up and we say, that's death, that's death, that's death in me, that is death, that is death. And we say it with hope and with power because Jesus is alive and he says, I come to give you life, to give you life, to give you life. And so we don't confront to destroy, because Jesus does not confront to destroy. We confront to redeem, because Jesus has confronted us to redeem us.
Amen, Clee.
Amen.
But many of us are not ready to confront. We're not ready to deal with the injustices. Oh, we may say we believe that we're all created in the image of God, but when we look at a certain group, we're not willing to step into that and say, I will suffer with you. I will suffer for you. But that's what Jesus did.
That's right.
So many times when we look at who we are as resurrection people, we can't just choose certain pieces that we want to deal with. All of the injustices Jesus did, if we truly are walking among this earth,
right,
as resurrection people, that means that we can't have a little simple life over here and wave that the complicated stuff around us or in our world. We must confront it as well. That's what resurrection is all about,
right,
for us as a people, because we are a chosen people. You know, I'm so grateful that God chose us to be resurrection people. I mean, that's important for you to take in. You're chosen. So what are you going to do with it? Are you going to live into it? Are you going to relate to others as resurrection people or as people that are in the tomb, people that are asleep or dead? That brings us to our third question. Can you please put that up? Well, why do we as Citywell need to keep the resurrection of Jesus at the center of all of our attention? Why do we? And I want many of us to really answer that, because we're in different parts here. We've got some that are active in ministries that are part of Citywell, NCCU. The question is, why do we need to keep the resurrection of Jesus at the center of all of our attention?
So I've got two things that come to my mind with that, Gloria. The first thing is that the resurrection is the only reason we worship Jesus. I mean, y'all, this is the center without which nothing holds and everything unravels. If Jesus did not get out of the grave,
amen,
if his body did not rise up as a new creation that can never be destroyed, everything unravels. Apart from the resurrection, we would not worship Jesus. Apart from the resurrection, to be quite frank, we never heard about Jesus. He's just another Jew among thousands of Jews that got killed on a Roman cross a long time ago, and there's just nothing that special about that. Except that he didn't stay dead. Except that on the third day, he got out of the grave, and now that transforms the cross too. It's only because of the resurrection that we look back at the cross and sing songs about an instrument of torture and death. It is only because of the resurrection that we look back at the cross and say, it's there that Jesus made me whole. It's only because he's raised that we worship him. And if we lose this, if this is not our center, we lose our very identity as a people, and we forfeit the good news that we have to bear to the world. Because y'all, the declaration that Jesus is risen That is our gift to the world.
Yes.
As we come alongside of anyone else who's fighting for justice in any form, and they may or may not believe in Jesus, and we will walk in lockstep with them if they are doing kingdom work, the gift that we bring into that is the kind of hope and joy and boldness and courage and freedom that is only found in the proclamation, Jesus rose from the dead. No matter how dark it gets, the light has risen. No matter how big the stone is, it's been removed. No matter how deep the grave is, Jesus got out. And so we press into the work of justice and the work of wholeness and healing from that place. If we don't keep this at the center, we bear no gift to the world.
Well, Cleve, I think the reason many of us here at CityWell struggle with keeping the resurrection of Jesus at the center of our attention, it could be because maybe we've got it twisted. Maybe we really are not looking at this the way it is. Because when you go back through all the gospel lessons in Matthew, Mark, Luke, they come from different angles on this story. But there's one piece that always connects and keep it the same. And that is that Jesus is crucified. And that means that something is happening. Something did happen. And the results that we as people of faith are to look at was that the powers that locked up the world in corruption and injustice and all of that was overthrown. So no matter how you look at this today is about understanding that the powers that be were stopped. That death did not win. And when I heard each of you singing this morning and putting the flowers up, it was excitement because I believe that you believed it. I believed that you came in today as people that were resurrected too. Because some of us left something at home. We left something on the job that we might identify as death. But I hope that today when you look at this, you know that the center of your attention in your home, on your job, even here at CityWell, should be to walk as people that believe that the powers that be are overthrown. That Jesus has the last word. And truly believe that Jesus is running the show. Running the show, even if it doesn't look like it. Even if your body is telling you right now that there's an ache and there's a pain, Jesus is running the show. And then the second part is that you've got to confront the powers that be. You cannot. I mean, when we, this baptism, the vows that we shared, and then you remember it, the all evil, injustices, oppression, this is ongoing for all of us people of faith. The center of our attention must be to live, to relate, and to do everything as people that know we are resurrection people.
And I think about, along that line, you know, Gloria and I's relationship is kind of a focal point for a larger story that's happening in our congregation, where we're believing that dividing walls that have fractured our community and certainly the church for hundreds and thousands of years can actually be torn down by the power of a risen Lord. You know, we're pressing in to the fact that a man and a woman can stand as co-heirs and co-dignified leaders of a church, that a black woman and a white man can confront the barriers of race and gender, that we can, in the differences of our generation, I'm older than she is by about 15 or so years.
Y'all got it right.
You know, that all of these things, that would be barriers, and we're just a few of them in our relationship, but these barriers are not weak barriers. These dividing walls are not paper thin. These things are deep. They're thick, they're strong, they are upheld by evil forces, demonic forces that are powerful. And they will crush us if we are not walking in a power much greater than our good intentions. They will crush us if we are not walking in the power of a risen Lord, who every time we stumble and every time we get it wrong, the Lord doesn't say, I'm risen, get up, walk with me, you're being made new too.
Amen. That is why the resurrection is not an afterthought of our salvation. I want you to get that. You can't say, oh, it's an app. No, it's about the recreation of who we are. You've got to believe that today,
yes.
If we're going to walk in this, this is a defining moment that we are recreated. We are made new. This is a new beginning in this relationship over and over again. And not only that, in the light of the promise that Jesus made to us, that we are brought back into this life with Christ. You know, things happen over and over, but it's how you respond to those things. And as resurrected people, I hope that you will remember that it's about recreating, focusing your mind, focusing on all of you when you step into those places where people will be looking. Are you really one of the chosen resurrected people of Jesus? It's a mystery. Some of you say, I can't figure this out. I believe, but you know, this morning before 8 o'clock, I got a call, a text message from my Muslim brothers. Happy Resurrection Sunday. And I text them back. Thank you. You know, in awe, believing that I can step into those places, as Cleve just said, where there are differences, but I stand as a resurrected woman of God.
Yes, amen.
We have to do this. Today, you come in here happy, upbeat. Are you going to take it with you when you leave? Are you going to look at these three questions over and over as you confront the powers that be? Some of you are not really ready to step out there and do some behind the scenes work. You're qualified, but I challenge you today. I challenge you, City Well, let's go deeper in attacking the injustices. Let's go deeper in dealing with those things that we know we can do.
City Well, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Jesus is risen.
Yes.
He is risen indeed.
Yes.
Jesus is risen.
Yes.
He is risen indeed.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.